one of the absolutely infallible signs that a man is growing older is the persistent habit of telling more and more stories from the distant past. When I was serving as religious superior at the University of Notre Dame, there was a senior priest by the name of Father Mike O'Brien, who in his younger years had been Dean of Arts and Sciences at the University of Portland out in Oregon, and had also served in all sorts of other important academic and congregational roles. But more than once, sitting at table at our community refectory, he would grumble to his fellow older fathers, "Will you guys finally shut up? Give some of the younger fathers a chance to say at least something as they try to swallow their meatloaf." Now, folks, this year I turned 60, about the same age St. Paul was when, as in today's second reading, he described himself as being an old man. I confess, I too find myself telling lots of stories from the past. Sometimes, driving in the car with Chris Krebs, who I'm going to institute as an acolyte this morning, through hundreds of miles of abundant Illinois corn, I start in reminiscing about the years when I was chaplain for the Fighting Irish. Now, I can tell in the corner of his eye a little bit of despair and a kind of silent prayer behind his polite smile. "Please, God, don't let Janky tell any more of those stories about Coach Lou Holtz and Notre Dame's now very, very ancient national championship. I just can't stand it." But you know what? He has to stand it. Heck, I'm the bishop. And guess what, folks? This morning, you are going to have to stand it as well. I'm the bishop. So, once upon a time, way back in 1988, the year Notre Dame last won the Fiesta Bowl and a national championship, Lou Holtz, from the very start of that year, was constantly reminding the team of what they needed to do if they wanted to be winners. He was forever re-articulating the goals the whole team had already set for themselves before the season had even gotten started. He never told them it would be easy. He always told them it would be hard. Over and over again, he hammered away about teamwork, about discipline, and about absolute, uncompromising, total commitment. He would say at every single talk before the game started that in a football game, it was either one side or the other that would give in. He would basically say, "Don't embarrass yourselves. Don't begin something you really can't finish. Don't build towers you cannot complete. Don't start wars you cannot win." Today's gospel, according to Luke, our Savior, our teacher, our Lord Jesus Christ is giving rather similar, bracing advice to the crowds that were following him. He basically tells them that being a disciple was not going to be a picnic. Despite their initial, and as time would prove, entirely shallow enthusiasm, following Jesus would mean following him to the cross. By any standard, his words on this occasion must be included among the so-called hard sayings. Listen again. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, this is no warrant for parental neglect or spousal abuse, for neurotic self-hate, or for economic communism, but it is a direct challenge to all who would follow Jesus that we should prefer nothing to Christ, who preferred nothing for our well-being. This certainly isn't feel-good Christianity, but this is real Christianity. This is, do you love me Christianity? This is, love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, strength, and soul Christianity. This is, love your neighbor as yourself Christianity. This is a way of living that has nothing to do with old stories or boring nostalgia. This is not a sports season that we may want to win. This is life without end that we must win. And for all those willing to be tested and stretched by the hard sayings of Jesus, there is a whole new life, a whole new way of existence built around passionate love and allegiance to the Lord. In Christ, believers may come to know the very life of God lived out in a very real human being, and then generously shared with all who follow him. Jesus is the human face of God. Jesus is the divine face of humanity. And putting God and his kingdom first in our lives places all other loyalties in a realistic perspective. Without divine expectations being imposed upon fallible human beings and mere stuff. As expressed in today's first reading from the Book of Wisdom, the people of God should long to be set free from the corruptible body that burdens the soul and from the earthen shelter that weighs down the mind. So nothing in this passing world, not even the enormous good of family and friends, not any possession, certainly no position, nothing at all should distract us from our one essential goal. Our prize is heaven. Our reward is seeing our God face to face. Now at every Mass, we truly stand before the cross of our Savior. At every Mass, we proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes in glory. His cross is our only hope. His death unlocks life without end. His way of the cross is the only way to glory. We all need to die to some old things, but only to be born again, more fully conformed to the Lord's image and likeness, and a deeper participation in the very life of God. So at Mass, and in the Most Holy Eucharist, we do not celebrate some wishy-washy, false, and superficial experience of Christianity. Instead, we meet the living Christ, who once was nailed to a cross, but then was gloriously raised from the dead, and now is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is still our priest, who pleads on our behalf. He is always our atoning sacrifice. He is forever the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is even now our Master, our Teacher, whose wondrous words should disturb us, turn our lives upside down, inspire us, haunt our dreams, change us and guide us, and give us new hope in a new life. Jesus, yesterday, today, and forever, is Lord.